Okay, there's two readings today, and the first one is Jeremiah 2, verse 13 to 19. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared, they have growled at him. They have laid waste at his land. His towns are burned and deserted. Also, the men of Memphis and Tephanes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Now why go to Egypt to drink water from the Shihor, and why go to Assyria to drink water from the river? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. The second reading is John 4, verse 7 to 18. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
Right, so last week we looked at this same chapter, and Bernie went through it and picked out lots of helpful things. Today we're focusing in particularly on this theme of living water. So we're mainly going to be looking at John chapter 4, so it'd be great if you've got that open in front of you, although we will be flicking back to those verses from Jeremiah also. Why don't I pray for us before we get going? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a God who loves us, that you are a God who cares for us. Thank you that you are a God who wants a relationship with each one of us. And thank you that you speak to us through your words. You show us what you are like. You show us what we are like. And you show us how to live. And please help us to listen to you this evening and to put into practice the things that we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So according to the Guinness Book of Records, Madonna is the world's most successful recording artist of all time. She's had 64 singles in the UK Top 40. She is worth over $400 million, US dollars, and she has sold over 200 million records across the world. And these are Madonna's own words about her life. "My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. That's always been pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." Even though she is successful, she still has to prove it. And this struggle, she acknowledges, will probably never end. Now, don't these words ring true to us today? We can have everything, that relationship, that job, that car, that status, and yet it can still feel never enough. One of my friends told me the reason he works so hard is because he simply wants to earn more and more money. He's earning a fortune for someone still in his 20s, but that's not enough. And yet he acknowledges, I know money can't really make me happy, but I just feel like I need more. So tonight we're thinking about being thirsty and how this drive to be somebody or to have something actually comes from a deeper thirst in every one of us. And we're going to see that there is only one way to have this thirst quenched. And it isn't through success. It's not through money. Rather, it's through the promise Jesus makes of giving those who want it living water. Life-giving water that will quench even the deepest thirst. And so we've got three points that are on the screen behind me. And the first thing we're going to think about this evening. People are thirsty and looking for water. The drama in John 4 is set by a well in Samaria in the baking midday sun. And it involves a conversation between the two main characters, a nameless woman and Jesus Christ. And we met the woman last week and we found out three things that made her conversation with Jesus quite extraordinary. Firstly, the woman was a woman. And it sounds a bit silly, but culture and tradition said that a Jewish man simply wouldn't have been talking to a woman. Secondly, the woman was a Samaritan. And as they were the Jews' bitter enemies, a Jew would have usually taken the long road round to Galilee to avoid the area altogether. So taking a drink from an unclean Samaritan would have been seen as contaminating to any self-respecting Jew. And thirdly, the woman was a sinner. No one in their right mind would have travelled to the well in the blistering heat of the midday sun. They'd have been having a siesta and would collect their water early in the morning or in the evening. She went at midday to avoid others, probably sick of their sniggering and pointing and gossiping about her. She had secrets to hide. This woman is thirsty. And she's literally thirsty because she's gone to the well to draw water. But she's also spiritually thirsty too. That's to say, she's thirsty for or longing for satisfaction and fulfillment in life. She's looking for a purpose. But where's she looking? Well, she's looking for it in a man. And just have a look down with me, verse 17. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. This woman is searching for happiness in a relationship, and she's still thirsty. None of her five husbands met her need. None of them satisfied that deep longing as she had hoped. And so she'd given up on even getting married to number six. She's just living with him outside a marriage, which is not just the same as marriage. There isn't the security of what should be the lifelong promise of commitment. And she should have known that any sexual relationships outside marriage are wrong. So she must have been thoroughly fed up. None of these men satisfied her deep thirst. And I'm guessing some of them were probably decent blokes. But her longing is deeper. Her thirst is stronger and can only be satisfied by Jesus' offer of living water. Everyone has this desire to be satisfied. Every one of us longs to find fulfillment somewhere. I've heard it described as a Jesus-shaped hole that we all have inside us. And the woman tries to fill it with a relationship, and discovers that actually no man can fill this hole she has inside for her. Some try to fill it with other things, a career, a house, friendships, sporting success, being accepted, school grades, or drink and drugs. But wherever we look, this Jesus-shaped hole will never truly be filled. It may be filled temporarily, but all these things will leave us eventually wanting more. Like Madonna admits. Now, I think this story has been cleverly placed after the story that we saw a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning of Jesus's meeting and conversation with Nicodemus. And I think it's to illustrate this point that everyone is thirsty. Because we saw back in chapter 3, Nicodemus is very different from this woman. He has a name to start with. We're not told the woman's name. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. He's a religious leader, a Pharisee, obedient and upright. She is morally unacceptable, a sinner. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and this woman meets Jesus in the heat of the afternoon. And yet they are also very similar, totally different people, but they both have exactly the same thirst. Both have an emptiness that Jesus alone can fill. Both are searching for fulfillment. Just one is looking for it in sex and relationships, and the other is looking for it in religion. And yet neither of these two things satisfy. The problem is universal. Every one of us is thirsty. And the solution is spelt out for us by Jesus. The thirst is met only by living water that Jesus promises freely to those who ask him. So that's the second point, the second thing we're going to see tonight. Jesus offers life-giving water that completely satisfies. This is where our thirst will be quenched. Both Nicodemus and the woman at the well, and every one of us needs this living water that Jesus offers. Without it, we will keep getting thirsty. And just as Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus' metaphor of being born again by taking it literally, so the woman makes just the same mistake. I'll have a look, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" She thinks Jesus is talking about living water in the sense that a tap or a spring provides living water. A stream is flowing, there's a constant supply. But Jesus' living water here is not physical. And there are a number of things that we can learn. We're going to sort of piece together what we see about Jesus' living water and what it's like. And the first thing, it's superior water. The woman picks up on this, verse 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also the sons, also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus, are you really saying that your water is better? Are you really saying you're greater than our fathers, people like Jacob? And Jesus is greater, because he is the one who the whole of the Old Testament points forward to. It's superior water. Next, we see Jesus' living water satisfies completely. Let's just look again, verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst." Have you ever been out in the heat, been playing some sport or just been rushing around all day, and then you suddenly realise you haven't had a drink for ages, and it occurs to you how thirsty you're feeling, and you're simply desperate for water. And you remember you have a bottle of it in the fridge, ice cold water, and as you open it, you gulp it down, and you can feel your thirst being quenched. But you know it's not a permanent thing. You know that sooner or later you'll need to drink more water. Your thirst is quenched at that moment, but not forever. Well, water is the illustration here that Jesus uses, but there's a deeper meaning. The things we look to satisfy us in life, they may give us pleasure and contentment for a while, but they're usually short-lived. They don't offer us full, complete, permanent satisfaction. Contrast Jesus' water. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Complete satisfaction is what Jesus offers. Now, C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books, he puts it nicely. He says that we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, we are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased, he says. And isn't that true? When we're thirsty, we drink. But we drink the wrong drink very often. It may satisfy us for a while, but Jesus offers true satisfaction. And yet so often we settle for second best. So Jesus' water is superior water. It's living, it completely satisfies. It's life-giving water. That is why it satisfies us completely. But we see that in the second part of verse 14. Indeed, Jesus says, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John tells us at the end of his book that his ultimate purpose in writing is so that we may have life. This is full life, a purpose now on earth. And a more complete life now in relationship with God, but life that is finally fulfilled when Jesus returns to make a new perfect world for us to live in. And then Jesus' water is the Holy Spirit. And we have to just flick on, maybe if you just flick on a page in your Bibles to chapter 7 and verse 38. John 7, verse 38, says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The Holy Spirit is God living in believers. John explicitly tells us that the water is the Holy Spirit. So to have Jesus' living water is to have God living inside us. It's about a relationship. And the Holy Spirit points us again and again back to Jesus, showing us what he's like, showing us how to please him. And he makes us become more like Jesus too. And what else do we see? Well, finally, Jesus' water requires a belief in Jesus. And I just read that in verse 38 of chapter 7. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Living water is about a relationship with God that happens as we put our trust in the person of Jesus. As we accept who Jesus is and what he's done for us and commit ourselves to follow him, then we will receive this living water. Remember back to the start then, we had the little test, we had the four different types of water here. And we've seen which water is the best, which water we liked best. But you see, Jesus here is claiming to offer us water that is far superior to any other water we can drink. Better water than we'll find anywhere else. Jesus offers life-giving water that completely satisfies. Which leads us on then to our final point, which is a question that we need to ask. Where will we go for our water? Where will we go for our water? And we need to think about where we're drinking. I don't mean which pub you go to after work on a Friday night, but where we're looking for satisfaction and fulfillment. We saw that, didn't we, in Jeremiah chapter 2. We see this sort of choice that we have. Jeremiah 2 verse 13, it says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." They committed, Israel, God's people have committed two sins. They'd forsaken God, the fountain of living water. They'd refused to drink God's living water. They'd refused to come to God. And instead, they'd made their own cisterns, which were faulty, cracked, and broken. That is to say, they'd chosen to worship idols and false gods rather than the one true living God. Anyone who possessed a sparkling, gushing spring of life-giving water would be foolish to trade it in for a leaky cistern, a pit collecting stagnant rainwater. It makes no sense. And yet, it's exactly what people have always done. So, do you see how contemporary this is? Because we do exactly the same thing today. Leona Lewis, who won the X Factor a couple of years ago, she had a song in the charts with these words. I'm not going to sing it. I don't even know the tune. But it says this: I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And that's what it says, her song. And this is what Daisy War wrote about it in the Times. She said, "For heaven's sake, I long to shout back. Can you at least be a little more specific? I told my daughter, who gazed back at me, eyes drenched in irritation and boredom, that wanting to be happy didn't count as an ambition, not in itself. I don't think she believed me. If I'm brutally honest, I'm not convinced that I believed it either, but it's the sort of thing that parents are meant to say to their children, isn't it? Of course, as we all know, wanting to be happy has become something of a religion for my generation. The fashion to come up with ever more outlandish ways to achieve personal fulfillment has become even more frantic, not to say competitive." And we thought about this at the start, didn't we? We thought about where people look, where we look for our happiness and fulfillment in life. So perhaps a quick self-examination is helpful. Where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our time? Because these two things usually give a good indication of where we're looking for fulfillment in life. We need to learn the lesson of Jesus that the only place to drink where we won't constantly be coming back empty and dissatisfied is drinking the living water of Jesus Christ. Satisfaction in him, in a relationship with him. As the woman at the well asks Jesus for his living water, she has to first be shown where she is drinking the wrong water. And we saw this last week. Jesus highlights it. For her, it is in a relationship which fails to satisfy. But she leaves a changed woman. I'm just going to read verse 28. Verse 28 and 29. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. I think those are fantastic verses. It's such a vivid picture, isn't it, of the woman leaving her old water jar. She's found something better. And she immediately becomes an evangelist. "Come and see Jesus," she says. I wonder, can we share her excitement when we were at work or at school or talking to our friends? Because verse 39 tells us that many people come to believe because of this woman's testimony. And they come to see too, end of verse 42, that this man, Jesus, really is the saviour of the world. If we are already believers in Jesus this evening, then will we share this woman's enthusiasm as we look to tell others about how great Jesus is? Will we seek out opportunities to talk to others about Jesus excitedly? Because Jesus can and wants to use all of us in this work. If he can use this adulterous woman, he can use you too. And I think there's a further application for us. Keep drinking this living water. Don't take our eyes off Jesus, because we will be tempted to, constantly. We'll look around and see our friends who are living for their family or money or a career or material possessions, and we'll think, "That looks good. I want to drink some of their water." And we need to remind ourselves that only Jesus' living water gives life. Only Jesus' living water will satisfy us completely. Let me give one final example. King David. At one point in his life, he's fleeing from his son, Absalom, who's seeking to kill him. He's straining to survive desert conditions in what's described as a dry and weary land where there is no water. And yet, he can write Psalm 63, where he begins by singing, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." Despite his terrible physical and emotional condition, he thirsts for God. He longs for God because he knows that God alone is the one who can satisfy even our deepest needs. So, where will we go for water? To the broken pots? To what the world offers us, or to Jesus, the one who promises this quenching, life-changing water? Come and drink Jesus' living water, and like the woman, we'll never be the same again. But let's encourage one another, and let's encourage ourselves to keep drinking Jesus' living water. Because it's only through Jesus Christ that we'll find the purpose and fulfillment in life that we long for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus offers us living water. Thank you that it is given freely to all who believe in Jesus. Please help us to thirst and to seek to have our thirst quenched by Jesus. Help us to remember this, to stop looking in all those other places we go to find fulfillment and satisfaction, and to remember that Jesus offers it completely. And so we thank you for him. Amen.